Well, we are in a series entitled Be Courageous. We've all had those moments in our life where we need to be courageous. And we tend to think of those courageous moments as maybe heroic moments. When we think about be courageous, we think of moments where we just kind of associate them with heroic moments. But last Sunday when we kicked off this series, here's what we said. Sometimes being courageous is doing the little things that no one may ever know about, that no one may ever hear about, that no one may ever even catch wind of, but we're doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Sometimes being courageous is simply doing the right thing when no one else would know what you do, and when it might seem like it doesn't matter what you do. Being courageous is doing the right thing. It's doing God's thing. When we go through life and we're taking steps, we're being courageous, going in the right direction. You know what we're actually doing? We're actually building memories. And today we're going to talk about building God-sized memories. Not just small things along the way, but the big moments of life as well. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How do I want to be remembered? Have you ever thought about that? How do I want to be remembered? You see, the story of Joshua starts with Joshua and the Lord having a conversation. And the Lord comes to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay, this is the guy that's led 1 million-plus people. He led them across the Red Sea on dry ground. He was able to do some absolutely unbelievable, incredible things because he was courageous and he followed the Lord. And the conversation says, now that he's dead, Joshua, you're responsible to go ahead and lead my people. I don't want anyone else. I'm not interested in the guy down the street. I'm not interested in the other person. It's you. We've prepared for this. We've kind of planned for this. We knew this day was coming, and here you are. It's your time. And here's what God says. God says, Joshua, it might seem impossible. It might seem like a big task. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be paralyzed by fear. I want you to be absolutely courageous. He says, better yet, I want you to be very strong and courageous. He says, I want you to rely on me because I'm going to take you to a place where you're going to be able to do things where no man will be able to stand before you. He says, Joshua, this doesn't depend on you. This depends on me. So just be courageous. Go where I go. Go where I lead you. And things are going to be okay. Joshua has this moment where he hears from the Lord, be courageous. The Lord says, listen to my voice. Then he says, arise and go. And then he says, leave the consequences to me. And that's what we talked about last Sunday. When we think about being courageous, we think about these heroic moments. But God boils down to this. He says, Joshua, being courageous is listening to my voice, taking the time to arise and go, and leaving the consequences to me. Do you know what he was saying? Joshua, there's some moments that aren't going to make sense. There's some things that are going to seem impossible. And maybe you would say it can't be done. But he says, Joshua, you have the opportunity to be courageous. Would you just listen to me? Would you be willing to rise and go? Would you be willing to leave the consequences to me? So today, we look back and we say, Joshua, an absolutely incredible person, an absolutely incredible leader, one who was able to do more than what Moses had accomplished, one who was able to lead God's people into the promised land and have many great victories and ultimately have a great life. If we asked Joshua prior to that, how do you want to be remembered? He might have said, you know what, I'd like to go ahead and be remembered for this, or I'd like to be remembered for that. But the truth is, we remember Joshua today because he did some absolutely courageous things. And you and I can go ahead and move past our little memories that we might already have, or our little memories that we might want to be remembered by, and we can move to something bigger in life. So I just want you to think about this question. How do you want to be remembered? When you look back on life, how do you want to remember you? When your children look back on your life, how do you want your children to remember you? When your grandchildren look back on your life, how do you want them to remember you? I don't know about you, but I've got some memories that I would like to erase. Anybody ever been there before? I mean, you got some moments that just stick out in your mind and you think, wow, I don't want to be remembered like that. Just a couple of days ago, I was looking through an old high school yearbook and just sorting through some things and getting rid of some stuff that was from college. And I came across this and I started looking back through it and I got to some sections that I was in and just looking through and I'm like, wow, I looked kind of young there. And I was at least 5 pounds, thinner at that point in time. And then I got to the baseball section and I started looking and there's these pictures and one of my friends is there. And he's fielding a ball at first base. And then somebody else is hitting. And it describes him as going ahead and getting another hit. He kept his head in and got another hit. But then there's this picture that's there. And it's one of the worst looking swings that you ever could capture. And the caption below it, and it's not me, okay? I'm giving this disclaimer. I don't want to put his name out here because this will go out from here. And I don't want him to know I was talking about him if he listens in sometime. But I guess he could go back and look at his yearbook and find out it's him, right? But anyway, here's the caption. Here's his memory that's there. He swings for the fences, but misses with a strike. And you just see the ball going by. And I thought, what a cruel thing to put in somebody's yearbook. I mean, that's his last moment. He was a senior. How would you like to open that up and look through that? I would cut that page out if that was me. I wouldn't let my kids go ahead and see that. I'd be like, no, never happened. Nobody wants to be remembered for a moment like that. Right? We know how we don't want to be remembered, but how do you want to be remembered? And more importantly, how do you want people to remember God through your life? Let's go ahead and take a look at Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 21, we're going to go ahead and just take a look at a couple of verses that just kind of flow right down through here. Here's what's taking place. Joshua has done some incredible things as he's been appointed leader by God. He's went in, spied out the land. He's already crossed the Jordan at flood stage, all right? And we're going to go back and look at that quickly in just a moment. But he's already crossed the Jordan at flood stage on dry ground. And here's what the Lord says. He says, Joshua, after you do this, here's what I want you to do. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 21. He says, then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Here's what he says. Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Do you get what God tells Joshua? He says, Joshua, I want you to go ahead and I want you to pick up some sizable stones because this is going to be a sizable memory. And I want people to know that you trusted me. I want people to know that you followed me. I want people to know that you were courageous. But beyond that, I want them to know that I was good and I can be trusted. Now just think about that for just a moment. How you live your life and the memories that you strive to create and what you live for is not only a reflection of your faith, it's not only a reflection of your courage, it's a reflection of the God that you follow. Joshua said, okay, Lord, here's what we're going to do. You want us to take some stones? We're going to take the stones. We're going to put them in place. Why? So that people would know who he followed, and so that people would know that his God was good and that God had done this on his behalf and on his children's behalf. So the memories that you're trying to build, the things that you're living for, the attempts that you're taking to be courageous, are they more about how people are going to remember you, or are they about how people are going to remember you following God and the God that you're following? Because for Joshua, they were about how he followed God and the God that he was following. Will that be the description and the memory for you? Some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, how can I build a big memory? How can I build a memory that's kind of descriptive about how I followed God? How I followed one who was good? How I followed one who could go ahead and do the impossible? Because that's what God did in the life of Joshua. How could my life go ahead and be something that would be courageous? Well, we tend to look on ourselves in ways and think, I could never do something that's considered to be courageous. I'm just living an ordinary life. My life is just kind of just there, right? Right? It's just kind of just a flat, boring experience. Does anybody ever feel that way about your life? I mean, that's not something we want to go ahead and necessarily shoot our hand up on and say, yeah, I feel like my life is just humdrum and it's just there. And I don't think of it as a courageous opportunity. That's not how we would describe it publicly, but sometimes on the inside, that's how we feel. So as you're sitting there, maybe you're thinking, how could I go ahead and have a life that's courageous? What could I do with my life to consider my life being courageous? Well, think about this for just a moment. When you think about your life being courageous, when you think about God telling Joshua to go ahead and be strong and to be very courageous, that's a message for you and it's a message for me. But I want you to understand this, that God can build great memories with anyone. God can build with anyone. If you would say, how can I go ahead and have a life that's courageous? How can I do something that truly matters? How can I go ahead and build a great memory? How can I do something that's God-sized? How could I be courageous like Joshua was courageous? The first thing that I want you just to realize is this: God can build with anyone. You say, John, how do you know that? Joshua chapter 2 gives us this description. It says in verse number 1, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. We go ahead and read down just a little bit further. It says, and so they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. All right, in Joshua chapter 2, within the first couple of sentences, here's what we pick up. We pick up a prostitute who's getting ready to be used by God. If you think your life is kind of boring, can I tell you, I'm kind of certain, and we can just be honest this morning, that Rahab's life probably wasn't all that boring, right? But at the same time, we could describe it in many ways, but let's just be honest. She would have never stood up and described her life as a life that could possibly be used to be given God-sized memories in a positive way. She would have never have stepped forward and said, wow, I can go ahead and I can do something incredible for God. She would have never stepped forward and said, I could be a leader for him because of who I am and where I come from. And here's the reality. When we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab is described as a harlot. We go down just a little bit, and here's what happens in the description. Rahab's talking, and she says in verse number 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And here's what Rahab says. She says, now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they and what they have, and deliver our lives from death. Do you know, Joshua wasn't perfect in his life. He had some things that are going to go wrong for him. God used him to go ahead and build an incredible memory. But now we pick up the story of a prostitute named Rahab. One with a sketchy past, one with a very sketchy present. And God says, you know what, Rahab? I can use you to build something worth remembering. Do you want a life worth remembering? It starts by realizing that God can build with anyone. Some of us sometimes think that we're too young. Some of us think we don't have any talent to offer. Some of us think that we have a checkered past. Or some of you might be thinking, wow, if you only knew what I'm going through right now, there's no way you would tell me that God could go ahead and build with anyone, including me. Can I tell you something? Rahab is not only used by God in Joshua chapter 2, but can I tell you this? When we go to the New Testament, guess where Rahab shows up? She shows up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That's absolutely incredible thought process to be able to follow through and understand that God takes someone who will go ahead and say, okay, God, here I am. I'll just put my faith in you. I'll just put my trust in you. I'll turn things over to you. And here's what happens. God begins to go ahead and turn a life around, and God begins to use her in an incredible way to be a blessing in her life, to be a blessing to his people. Rahab didn't have every answer, but Rahab had one answer. And she said, when we heard about your God, our hearts melted, and we did not have any courage at all. She said, your God, that's the true God. He's the God of heaven and earth. I believe it. Would you show kindness? Would you show kindness to me and to my father's house? Today, you may feel like your life's not perfect. You may feel like your life's not much. But God can build with anyone. You might have some memories that you'd like to get rid of. You might have some of those moments, like I mentioned earlier, that you'd like to go back and cut out of the book because you don't want people to know about that. Can I tell you today that the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for you and he died for me to go ahead and erase those sins, to cover them up? And that when we come to him and we turn our life over to him, that he erases those for all eternity. He takes them and he buries them in the depths of the deepest sea, and they're to be remembered there no more. They're separated as far as the east is from the west. He takes those moments and he takes those memories and he absolutely does away with them, because no matter who you are, he loves you and he's got an incredible plan and an incredible future for your life. And for Rahab, all it took was her coming to a place where she said, okay, your God is the true God, and he can build with anyone. As Joshua listened to his voice, as Joshua would arise and go, as Joshua would leave the consequences to him, now Rahab is doing this. She's listening to his voice. She's willing to arise and go, and she's willing to go ahead and leave the consequences with God. Why? Because she believes that God can build with anyone. God can build with your life today. God can take the memories that are sketchy, that are shaky, the memories that hurt, the memories that bring up pain. He can turn those around. He can erase them. He can use them. You see, God can build with anyone. But it doesn't stop there. When we begin to look at a key to God building memories, we need to realize this, that God goes before us. Sometimes we get excited about building memories, and sometimes we get excited about living a courageous life. And we think, man, I'm going to be courageous. And it's just like a pep rally moment. And Pastor John said, we could be courageous. So now I'm just going to go out and I'm going to do whatever I think I need to do, because that's what Joshua did. Well, in a moment, we're going to find out that when Joshua did whatever he thought he needed to do and whatever he thought was best, he got himself and he got the people in a whole lot of trouble. And you know what happens when you and I do that? We get ourself in a lot of trouble, and we can get the people around us in a lot of trouble. Here's what takes place. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 3. Joshua stands. He tells his people to go and go through the camp and give them this message. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Joshua is describing how they're going to cross the Jordan at flood stage. And here's what takes place. The Jordan is at flood stage. They're going to go ahead and cross it. And Joshua says, in order for us to be able to cross the Jordan, in order for us to be able to survive this circumstance and survive this moment, here's what has to happen. God must go before us. You see, the ark, the priests, the Levites, they were representatives of God, and the ark was the presence of God. And Joshua is saying this, look, if we follow God and God goes before us, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to be okay. Do you know where we tend to struggle? You and I tend to struggle when we go ahead and we get things backwards and God is behind us and we're in front. When we're out doing our own thing, when we're out living our life in our own way. You see, anytime God is behind us or God's not included in our thought process, we're following another direction. Guess what? You and I are headed for trouble. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how much we know. Joshua is able to get to Joshua chapter 4, and he's able to have some incredible memories. He's able to go ahead and put down big stones that marked what God had done so that his children and his grandchildren and all those that would come after could look and say, what does this represent? And they would be able to look back and say, this represents the moment where we followed God and God kept his word. But the key is following God. Do you know, in your life and in my life and in the life of this church, there's moments where we must follow God. There's moments where we must do some tough things. There's moments where we must adjust and do what God wants us to do, not always what is comfortable and not always what is easy. Getting a group of people together and say, hey, I know you can all see that the Jordan is overflowing its banks right now. I know it's the time of the harvest and it's at flood stage, but I just want you to know we're going to go ahead and we're going to walk across it. How many of you think that was easy? Oh, wasn't easy at all. God told Joshua, Joshua, you're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to be courageous. He says, you're going to need to be very strong and you're going to need to be very courageous. Why? Because it's not going to be easy. You see, sometimes following God doesn't always make sense. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 15. Here's what takes place. It says, and as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. It says that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city beside Zaretan. So the waters went down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. It says, until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. What took place? They followed God. You see, it wasn't easy, but it took a courageous faith to build that God-sized memory. Those stones were heavy to carry, to be able to place down as a marker of remembrance. But that wasn't always, or the only heavy burden to bear. The heavy burden to bear was standing and saying, look, we're going to be courageous and we're going to follow after God and we're going to do this now. Maybe today your moment of courage just goes back to following after God, letting God go before you and getting things back in balance in your life and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go ahead and follow you and I'm going to take care of things your way. That's my moment of being courageous today. For Joshua, that's what it was. They had a moment of being courageous and they followed after God. God's ways are not always our ways. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that maybe in the grand sense of our human minds, it would have been easier to say, okay, we're going to go ahead and cross to Jordan when it's not flood stage, right? We're going to go ahead and get it when it's like baby pool depth. We're going to get it when it's like that little pool that you walk through to rinse your feet off before you get in the big pool. We're just going to go and take it easy at that point in time. You see, God's ways are not always our ways. God does not always do things how we would do it. And you know what? That's a really good thing. Because here's what I've discovered in my life. I don't know whether you've discovered it or not, but when I follow after God, and I let God be God, my life generally goes a little bit smoother. God's ways are not our ways. It doesn't always make sense. It's not always how we would do something. We might not pick flood stage to go ahead and cross the Jordan, but God did, and God said, I want to pick flood stage so that people will be able to remember and say, God did this. Well, we get to Joshua a little bit deeper. In Joshua chapter 6, they're going to go fight the battle of Jericho. Jericho is a walled city. And here's what happens in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, there's one of those moments again that's just not how we would tend to do things. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They were afraid. So you would think that they would just go and have this magnificent battle plan. Here's the battle plan. God says, Joshua, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. By the 7th day, you shall march around the city 3 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. How many of you want to go fight a battle with that plan? I mean, that just really just doesn't go ahead and sound that great. Hey, and in fact, if someone came on our TV screens and says, look, we've got a new battle, we're going to go ahead and fight against terrorism, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take these cities that they've occupied and we're just going to go ahead and march around them, we're going to blow a trumpet, everybody's going to get really loud, and they're all going to be taken care of, given into our hands, people would laugh and mock that, and they would say, oh my word, we thought our leadership was bad, but it's just getting worse, right? And that's what they would say. Because it's not our way. That doesn't sound like much of a battle plan. But can I tell you, God's ways are not our ways. And God said, Joshua, this may not make sense to you, but if you do it, I promise you, it will be taken care of. Do you know it takes courage to do the things that God's leading us to do that may not make sense to somebody else? It takes courage to do things that God is directing us to do, that other people might say, man, I wouldn't do it that way. You see, you got to remember that Joshua is leading a group of people that's just like you and me. They don't have all the answers and they don't understand everything. In fact, their moms and dads missed out on going to the land that they're walking into because they disagreed with Moses. And they said, Moses, this is the dumbest thing we've ever heard. There's no way it's going to work. We're not doing it. I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua, I would be tremendously nervous that I'm going to be back in the same situation as Moses. We're just going to wander around a little bit more because it doesn't make sense from a human standpoint. Sometimes life doesn't make sense from a human standpoint. But God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are different and higher and better than ours. See, in Joshua 6:20, we discover that God's plan worked. In Joshua 6:27, we discover that God, along with Joshua's fame, spread throughout the country, and people said, wow, this is absolutely incredible. There was a great respect. Why? Because Joshua was following God. You know, we look at the life of Joshua and we realize that God's ways are not our ways. We look at the life of Joshua and we realize this, that God's plan is always best. God's plan is always best. When you go into Joshua chapter 7, here's what you're going to discover. That Joshua got together with some of the men, and some of the men said, Ai is a small city. We can handle it. Let's just go up and take it. Let's not ask God about anything. Let's just go up and take it. So they went up to take it, and here's what happens. The weak city of Ai turns Joshua's mighty men, and they flee. And Joshua gets before the Lord, and he says, Lord, why have you done this? And God says, Joshua, I haven't done this. He says, my way is always best, and I told you what to do before we got in this situation, but in this specific situation, you never consulted me, you never asked me. Your people have done what they wanted to do. They've taken things that I've told them not to take. And God said, Joshua, here's what needs to happen. Your people need to go ahead and turn back to me because they have departed from my way. So Joshua goes out before the people and says, look, the reason we got beat up in battle, the reason that we were embarrassed is because we're not right with God. And he began to go through the camp, group by group, and say, what do you need to get right? And Achan comes out. And Achan says, wow, I've got some gold and silver and some things that I took and I've buried them in the midst of my tent. And they began to go ahead and gather everything up. And here's what they discovered through that loss and through that setback. They discovered that God's ways are always the best ways. That God's plan is always the best plan. You see, in Joshua chapter 7, we discover as they go into the battle of Ai that they began to do what they wanted to do. Joshua didn't consult God. I guarantee you God had a plan for that battle, but Joshua never asked. The people already knew what they were never supposed to take, but they took it anyway. They departed from God's plan. And as a result of departing from God's plan, no matter how strong they may have been, no matter how much they may have known, it was a loss. No matter how much we might know, no matter how close to God we think we might are, when we begin to depart from His plan for our life, His plan for aspects of our life, do you know what happens? We're setting ourselves up for failure in the battle that we call life. And when you think about Ai and when you think about Achan, there's one memory that comes to my mind, and it's sin. Who wants to be remembered for departing from God's plan? Who wants to be remembered as the one who said, look, I'm going to do things my way, and I'm not going to do what God wants me to do? Nobody wants that written as their life sentence. No, nobody wants their life summed up in one sentence that says they ignored God. Did what they wanted. You see, God's plan is always best. And the key to building a God-sized memory is found in Joshua chapter 7, verse number 13. Because as long as they were right with him, some great things took place. In verse number 13, here's what God says to Joshua. He says, "Get up and sanctify the people and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from you.'" God says, you can't build God-sized memories until you're right with me. And sometimes God has more for our life, and God has bigger and better plans, but we don't seize them, and we don't build those great memories because we're holding on to things that God did not design us to hold on to. Achan was described as one who held on to sin. Don't let your life be described like that. We want to be courageous and build God-sized memories, then we've got to remember that God can build with anyone. No matter who we are, no matter where we're at, God can build with anyone as long as we allow God to go before us. And as long as we remember that God's ways are not our ways, it may not always make sense, but we follow and we don't depart from his plan because his plan is always best. Then we'll be able to remember and share what God has done. It says in verse number 24 of Joshua chapter 4, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Would your life point people? Would the memories that you're making and the things that you're living for, would they point people to think, wow, they live for a God who's mighty, for a God who loves his people, and for a God who has a greater plan and purpose for all. For a God that I could follow. For a God that wants me to be a part of it. God got Joshua aside and he said, Joshua, I want you to live your life in such a way that I want you to be remembered with these stones, but at the same time, I want your children and your grandchildren, and I want people from all over to be able to come here to this moment and to be able to see that you followed me and that I truly am mighty. Today, are you living your life in such a way that people would be able to look at your life and see that you're following after God and be able to look at the memories that you're building and know that, number one, you're following after him, and number two, that God is mighty? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And as we're talking about being courageous, sometimes we think of the big moments of life. We think of the big things that maybe we need to do, or the big things that we think we need to take care of. But maybe today, your courageous moment is to place faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe today you've never done that. You don't have that relationship. Maybe today you would like to do that. Maybe today you would say, John, I know Jesus is my Savior, but honestly, I need to be courageous in some areas. I need to follow after him. I've kind of just drug God around and I go where I want to go and I don't even think about what he wants or what he has for me. I need to be courageous and and put my life behind his leadership. I need to be courageous and give up control. Follow him. Maybe today you would say, John, I'm struggling with God's plan for my life, and I know what he wants me to do, but it just doesn't make sense from a human standpoint, and I need to be courageous and to truly follow that. Maybe you would say, to be quite honest, John, I'm kind of like some of those. I'm holding on to some things. I'm not letting go of some things that I know God doesn't have for me. He doesn't want me to hold on to it. And I need to let go of those sins because they're keeping me from building some God-sized memories. You see, as individuals, as families, as a church, when we align ourselves and say, okay, Lord, we're ready to be courageous, we're going to go after you regardless of where you call us and lead us to go, we're going to follow you. We're going to let go of things that we need to let go of, and we're going to take hold of you and your plan. He does incredible things with our life, no matter who we are, no matter where we're from. So today, if you don't know him, I invite you, the moment we begin to sing, you can just leave your place and come, and we're just going to have an invitation time today. If you want to know Jesus, we'll have people here at the front that will take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Christ is your Savior. Maybe today, you already know him, but you would say, John, I need some areas of my life. I need to go ahead and make them right. I need to go ahead and let go of some things. I need to realign some things, and I want to come and pray about that. Whatever your need might be, I encourage you just to step out and come when we begin to sing.